Asia Pacific.
Hello and welcome to Asia Pacific. I'm Judith Prescott. Millions of voters go to the polls in the Philippines in nationwide elections. Tension mounts in the Thai capital between the government and red shirt protesters. And Afghan President Hamid Karzai travels to Washington to meet his American counterpart, Barack Obama. These are the stories making the headlines in the Asia Pacific region this week. In the Philippines, violence marred voting in the country's election to appoint mayors, members of parliament and a new leader. Current President Gloria Arroyo is stepping down in June as she reaches her constitutional two-term limit. Benigno Aquino, the son of the late former president Corazon Aquino, is widely tipped to be the new president. It's the first time Filipinos have used an electronic ballot system. And as correspondent Gurley Linao in Manila explains, all did not run smoothly.
Voting began on time in the Philippines, but then, you know, problems immediately crop up with this new automated system that we're using. A number of the machines malfunctioned, so voting had to be stopped in several polling precincts in the Philippines. Even the presidential frontrunner, Senator Benigno Noynoy Aquino, had to wait in line because the machine in his precinct stopped. Officials are saying that more than nearly 400 machines malfunction nationwide, and to them this is a small number, but this caused long queues and frustration among the voters. There's also been a lot of reports of fightings and shootings. There's bomb attacks and grenade attacks, especially in the southern Philippines, where officials have tightened security ahead of the elections because of the presence of armed groups and the rebel groups in the area. Reports from police and the military already show that there have been more than a dozen people killed on election day violence. And there are concerns that violence would continue, you know, until the proclamation of the winners.
Tension is rising in Thailand's capital, Bangkok, after a pro-red shirt general, Major General Kattiya Sawastipol, was shot and seriously wounded on Thursday. Earlier, the army announced plans to seal off an anti-government protest site in the capital with armoured vehicles. Correspondent Arnaud Debus says that despite fears of a repeat of the bloodshed of April the 10th, this is unlikely.
I think it's different in the sense that the government is better prepared. What happened on the 10th of April is that there was a military operation and the military had an automatic weapon. But then they were attacked and they were very surprised to be attacked by war weapons. And they reacted by shooting in the crowd. I think that this time is much more deliberate. There is a strategy which has been planned. And the military are just implementing this strategy.
But despite the problems in the capital, Dubu says the rest of the country is largely ignoring what's happening.
Overall, I would say there is a deep feeling of boredom and a feeling of hopelessness. They would like to go back to life as usual. And they think that even if there is a, you know, social conflict, political conflict, it should not drag for such a long time. Some Bangkok people say that it's a little bit like what we call in Thai Lakon Nam Nao, which is like a B-series, a TV series of low quality, because you have always new happening and new surprise. And overall, it's not very funny for the people in the capital city.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai is in Washington, where he met President Barack Obama on Wednesday. He described the talks as frank and productive and promised to spend U.S. financial resources with extreme care. He also said ties with the U.S. are going well despite occasional divergences.
We are in a campaign against terrorism together. There are days that we are happy. There are days that we are not happy. And definitely days have come in which we've had difference of opinion. Indefinitely days in the future will come in which we have difference of opinion. There are moments that we speak frankly to each other. And that frankness will only add to the strength of the relationship and contribute to the successes that we have.
President Obama also praised the broad and deepening partnership between the two countries and said that Karzai had renewed their goal of defeating al-Qaeda.
When I came into office, I made it very clear that after years of some drift in the relationship, that I saw this as a critical priority. I also said to the American people that this was going to take some time, and it was going to be hard. But with slow, steady, persistent work on the part of both the United States and the Afghan government, that I was confident that, in fact, we could achieve peace and stability and security there, and that that ultimately would make the American people more safe. I am more convinced than ever that we have found a difficult but appropriate strategy for pursuing those goals. There are going to be setbacks. There are going to be times where the Afghan government and the U.S. government disagree tactically. But I think our overarching approach is unified, and I think that the visit by President Karzai to the United States and his willingness to listen to our concerns, even as we listen to his, as he indicated, only makes the relationship stronger.
But Phyllis Bennis, a senior analyst at the Institute of Policy Studies in Washington, says the differences between the two leaders are perhaps insurmountable.
The main point, and I don't know that it's been resolved, is a significant strategic difference on the question of negotiations and reconciliation. There are very different views between President Karzai and the Obama administration. The Obama administration is quite isolated on this. It also has a different view than the British and some other NATO allies, and different than Pakistan. It's essentially on the question of who do we negotiate with, when do we negotiate, and what's up for grabs. So the question is, will anybody talk with the Taliban? Everybody says yes eventually, but for the U.S., the view is we can't talk to them now. We have to kill more first. We have to kill more Taliban, which inevitably means killing more civilians, before we can talk to them. The Karzai government is saying we should talk now. The British have said we should talk now. The Pakistanis are saying we're already talking. So the U.S. is really quite isolated on this. There's also a difference on who do we talk to. The U.S. is willing to say, okay, we can talk to low-ranking foot soldiers now and try and bribe them out of the Taliban. That's okay. But no discussions with strategic leaders.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Asia Pacific. Don't forget to join us again, same time next week.